Hello, and welcome to Pod Catalyst. I'm Peter Finn, Executive Director at IABC, or the International Association of Business Communicators. And today, for this episode, I interviewed Charlene Sanchenko. Charlene is a two-time founder, impact producer, and modern-day medicine woman, and media is her medicine. Born in Splatseen Band of the Shuswap Nation of British Columbia, Charlene curates media partnerships between brand advertisers, impact investors, and storytellers to ensure transformative stories that deliver target returns are told. In the mid-1990s, Charlene worked in a privately owned brokerage firm in the investment services industry. She learned to broker business deals from the best. Now she brokers deals for impact. The global advertising industry is poised to reach $1 trillion by 2025, and Charlene's organization, Regen Media, believes that impact advertising will follow in the footsteps of impact investing during this decade. It was really interesting to talk to Charlene. We'd actually chatted a couple times before we recorded the podcast, and she's just like a really great story, and the work that she's doing is absolutely fascinating. So I think you'll really enjoy the interview. So Charlene, thanks so much for speaking with me. You know, we've actually chatted a couple times before, and I think based on those discussions, I thought what a great opportunity is to interview you for Pod Catalyst and just kick things off. Tell us a little about yourself and Regen Media and how it came about. I know there's a really interesting story. I know that already, but you know, for our listeners, yeah, tell us a little bit about it.
Thanks, Peter. Yeah, I've really enjoyed speaking with you so far and getting to know a little bit about more about you and the great work that you are up to within the organization. I'm coming to you from above the border in Canada, west coast of Canada. I'm an Indigenous woman who lives in British Columbia, and I am an impact producer by trade. We'll get into a little bit more about that. I'm a visionary. I love living in a rural community, but doing big work in the world through the power of media. And I think one thing that your community might be interested in is I very much came from a business communications background. I was a national marketing manager for a privately held investment firm up until 2000. And I've really always, I guess it's in my blood, really loved the power of story. And that kind of is a little bit of the impetus of Regen Media, which I'm sure we'll get into more later. But yeah, just a real pleasure to be here with you from my sunny West Coast today to where you are.
And so can you just talk a little bit about the genesis of Regen Media? You know, how did that all kind of come about? I know that, you know, a lot of the work that you did beforehand has kind of led into that.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, I think the seeds of what we're meant to do in our careers is constantly getting dropped. The seeds are constantly getting dropped. It's just sometimes we might not recognize them. So in the brokerage industry, I always lovingly say that I was taught by some of the best how to put business deals together. And what was missing for me from those deals was the impact of them, besides being great money makers. And that was actually back in 2000. So there was no such thing as impact investment back then. So I left the investment services industry in search. I always say my soul was calling, in search of more purposeful work, more meaningful work. And I worked in, I started my first company, Powerhouse, which is an impact acceleration organization, no surprise there. But I always kind of held on to just how incredible the brokerage industry was and is as a model. And I was always surprised that more strategic, intentional deals weren't pulled together for impact. And so I guess the seed of Regen Media was taking what I learned in terms of deal making and putting it towards deal making to ensure that transformative stories that deliver target returns are told. And in order for them to be told, they have to be financed. And that's really where the partnerships come between progressive brand partners, impact investors, and of course the creators that create the stories. And so was born Regen Media.
And so for some of our listeners, you know, IBC members that are just hearing about regen media for the first time, and like, you know, specifically how would you kind of, you know, what would be your overview of breakdown of, you know, what is regenerative media to you, and how that might translate to some of the work that they do? You know, many of our members and folks in our community are our business communicators in communications, PR, and so on.
I think in its simplest form, regenerative media is definitely in the emerging space of media tech. And it's very, very much a term, a category for the type of media that lifts. I say it lifts to shift. So basically what that means is whether it is a song, a film, a commercial, a news clip, I don't think we can deny that what we take in a day, what we consume in a day, it's either going to lift us, lift our spirits and make us feel better and excited, or it's going to have the negative effect. It's going to actually pull us down. And we've done a lot of research, and we've really been looking at the more that the world around us moves faster and can feel a bit chaotic at times, folks are really looking for more and more options for stories and media that lift their spirits and help them to feel better rather than more perhaps entertaining, but maybe restricting or constricting media. And that's really the power of regenerative media in its simplest form. Regenerative media is stories that heal, which may sound kind of funny, but they help us to feel better.
And are there certain brands you think of that are really successful at this, you know, and you know, on an international level that you see are, you know, kind of best in class in this kind of work?
Yeah, you know, I think what I see right now, and I've been watching this space since 2015. We actually thought Regen would launch in 2020, so we're a couple of years later, but grateful for having taken that time. And we have definitely seen whispers of hints of, you know, many brands doing a good job, like taking a little look at it. I'm not sure they're sinking their teeth right into it, like fully, but we certainly see it from as simply as a WestJet, really more heartfelt commercials that you've come to expect at Christmas time, to a Cheerios campaign starting to feel quite heart-led. One of my favorite examples of a brand that has bitten a little bit more into this process is actually General Mills. They did a campaign a few years ago with their Yoplait yogurt line, and they chose to invest some of their advertising, marketing, sponsorship dollars into a mini documentary campaign called For the Better. And this campaign series featured youth that were challenged to be the change they feel the world needed. And there was a series of mini documentaries. They ran a campaign around For the Better. And the very cool thing about it is not only did they put money into the documentaries, ran the campaign, but for every view that the films racked up, they also donated a dollar towards a Change Destiny fund. So it was really well thought out, and it was a good example of a brand strategically thinking about it. That campaign brand grew by 11% in just a couple of months. What we're not seeing more of, but we feel like we're on the tipping point for, is brands that are really committing to it on a regular basis, like a consistent regular basis, where they're regularly taking a portion of their branding and advertising dollars and directing that into regenerative media projects that come with a wraparound campaign for advertising, that come with experiential opportunities like film festivals or film screenings for their teams and their clients, and that position them as executive producers for transformative stories, which we always say a story is a great way to build your brand legacy because it's something that's going to last for a lifetime. So we see a lot of hints of it, but we're really looking to see a more concentrated, consistent practice.
And some of our members that are in the communication space or communication professionals, is there a role that they can play in ensuring that some of this is not just empty of, you know, a real impact, you know, where they're really walking the walk? And I don't know if you have any examples of, like, you know, how someone might have done that within their organization, but is there, you know, some advice that you would provide, or, you know, kind of some thinking around, you know, what is that role and how they can influence their organization to have an impact?
Yeah, I mean, I think as someone that came from this industry 20 years ago, I actually think it's a really exciting time to be in communications, especially to contribute to some really important decisions. We are absolutely affected, you know, story and what stories are the framework of our society. They make up the framework of our societies and what we believe in, both ourselves and about each other. So in terms of speaking to other professionals, I guess I go back to the example of impact investment. 20 years ago, I left an industry because there was no such thing as impact investment. But now, over the last decade, especially, investors have stepped up and said, yeah, you know what? Maybe I'm not ready to commit my whole portfolio to doing better and being better. I'm not ready to take responsibility for my whole portfolio, but I'm willing to take a section of my portfolio, a percentage, and invest in companies that are, you know, working to solve the problems of today. And so here we are, you know, 20 years later. And if I keep that comparison going, it's interesting to compare that in 2020, the impact investing industry was worth $715 billion US. So just to compare, $715 billion of assets under management in 2020. And I think I don't have to tell you, we know that come up to 2025, the global advertising buy will reach $1 trillion. So we're actually walking into a far bigger playground of possibility. And so all I'm saying is, if you are a conscious leader, if you're alive, awake, and aware in communications in 2022, I think my ask would be that you really have a look at your responsibility of who you are and where you are in your organization, and maybe consider that, is there an opportunity to take a percentage of your budget, whether that be in advertising, marketing, branding, community investment, whatever you want to call it, sponsorships, is there that opportunity to strategically start to look at that and go, okay, we're not going to switch everything in terms of how we advertise it, but we're going to take a good section here beyond corporate social responsibility. We're actually talking about projects that shift the narrative.
Yeah.
You know, we're really going to strategically, and we're going to get, this is from top down and down up, from the executive level to the front lines. Everyone can get involved in this. And it's something that we believe in for ourselves. And if we're not willing, if it seems kind of fuzzy for ourselves, look back to that other example and do it for your children, you know? That's really what it's all about.
And if there's a, you know, organization that wants to start their journey, what would be your advice or counsel on how to, and I think you've already mentioned, you know, around alignment and, you know, it's all across the organization, but are there some practical steps to get this started?
There's actually a really practical exercise that any team could do to get started, to even see if you're there, to see if there's an appetite, if there's a readiness to pursue this. Regen definitely has brand advisory services. But one of the activities that we enjoy doing with teams is, we call it a narrative futuring workshop or a narrative futuring session. So just coming into work with your team and just have them explore, who are we as a brand 10 years from now? Who are we as a brand 50 years from now? Who are we as a brand 100 years from now? You know, as an Indigenous storyteller, the decisions that I make are 7-generation decisions. They have to make sense in the present, but they're absolutely decisions for the future. And so with brands, it's like, who do you want to be, like, how do you want to be known? Who do you want to be known as a brand 50 years from now? And are we consciously, are we giving that as much attention, that brand legacy, as we are some of the pieces? And where do our communications and our storytelling, the way we express ourselves, absolutely is how we build that.
Yeah. And I mean, I know you mentioned that you've worked with some organizations. Is that something you've engaged in recently with a couple different organizations?
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, over the pandemic, we've done a little bit more work virtually. We're excited to kind of get out and about again. Yeah. But yeah, we're always in this type of conversation on any level that we can get to it, because this is the precursor for our project matching, like matching up with our regenerative media projects. We need to make sure that our brand partners are on board, that their values align with the artists and the creators that we work with, and that they understand what the opportunities and benefits are to them as a brand, not only from being named as a, you know, an executive producer, but again, how do we create really memorable experiences for their teams and clients that will be something that, you know, people talk about for years to come. And I think all of this is possible in and around a really good project, a really powerful story. Those are, you know, we're creating memories with our clients as we're creating the impact.
Yeah. Have there been particular industries that have been, you know, have more momentum than others?
I wouldn't name it as an industry per se. I would say the industries that you would suspect are more open on every level. Like, they're really the ones that are turning over lots of different rocks and saying, yeah, you know, the way that we thought about this, say, pre-2020, we're willing to look at this a little differently. I'll be honest, the industries that I'm looking to speak with, because I'm really not in the market to try to convince anyone. What I'm really passionate about is working with people who are ready. So they typically are working on their ESG strategy, or they're at least committed to it. They have some impact goals, or they're at least committed to figuring them out.
Yeah.
And now we walk in with a compelling way to take intentional action, to actually implement and integrate that strategy. Because again, if I think back to, like, I was on that side of the decision 20 years ago, what I will say on behalf of my friends in this industry is that, you know, to be fair, I don't think that we've been given really, really compelling opportunities, like delivered all, you know, all-inclusive, really compelling opportunities that come with a quality project and a quality crew, an amazing advertising campaign that really has them feel good and still gets the, you know, the eyeballs and the traction. And then the really sweet, interesting, unique, distinct event experiences. And so in the past, we've been kind of stuck between this corporate social responsibility end of the spectrum, when we don't really feel like running yet another golf tournament, and, you know, being so tied to doing what we know we have to do to make sure it converts, you know, like, and so where's that middle point? But I think at this time in history, we as storytellers and communicators have to go, wow, like, first and foremost, we're human beings, we're adults, we're parents. What do we really need to do within our profession that can have those two worlds meet up and really take a look at doing this differently?
Yeah. Well, the other thing I wanted to ask you about is that I know you're launching the 50 Fabulous Brands campaign as part of the call for more brands to spend their ad dollars in meaningful ways. Can you speak more about the campaign and, you know, what's how that materialized and, you know, where it stands now?
Yeah, I think the genesis of it was definitely my belief from meeting good folks in the industry that I really do believe there is an appetite to do better with the lack of opportunities to take action on. I really do believe that, whether I'm talking to agency folks or in-house folks. So I decided to start with building relationships. And, you know, for me as an Indigenous woman, we got to start there with the relationships and having conversations with brands who identify as progressive, and they're looking to explore different best practices and looking to explore certain pivots. And so 50 Fabulous Brands is kind of that combination of groundwork, market research, being in conversation, really having the conversation with folks to let them know what we're up to and to listen to where they're at. But then at the same time, recognize that they're even taking steps to do better. So who are the fabulous brands that might not have it all figured out, but they're at least open. open and, you know, pushing that direction. And that's the campaign that we've recently kicked off and we're really hoping to get some more traction on and have some more conversations.
Yeah. So one last question we ask everybody, what gets you up in the morning?
Yeah, I love that question. I hope you answer that question after. But I would say I do have a real zing for life, and it comes from a, you know, a pretty personal long story that I will not share with you. But I was that Indigenous little girl that was taken from her community, and I was put into foster care, and I was lucky enough to get adopted out of foster care. I've grown up in a really privileged non-Indigenous home. So a big part of what I'm doing with Regen is honoring my roots, honoring my Indigenous roots and storytelling for the highest purpose. Mm-hmm. I remember that every day. I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the home I had growing up, but I also hold a deep sense of responsibility to the community and the people that I didn't get to be a part of growing up. And that really just, it fires me up every day with the projects that we get to work on. They're, you know, they're Indigenous focused for sure. They're not Indigenous only, but a good part of why I do what we do is to make sure those opportunities are there for marginalized creators and for the people that want it, their allies that want to be around them and in support of them.
Yeah. And just some background on the questions, like when we started the podcast, we're like, oh, it's there. You know, there's that question, like, what keeps you up at night? And that just seems like a terrible question. So it's more of like, you know, what, you know, energizes you in the morning to, you know, do what you do. So thank you. It's been really fantastic to speak with you, Charlene. And I know folks that get to listen to this are really going to enjoy the conversation. And I, again, just thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for hosting. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much to Charlene. That was great. Really enjoyed, and I've enjoyed speaking with Charlene. Just a really interesting kind of backstory and the work that she's done and where she's, the things that she's working on now, I really consider really cutting edge. So I hope you enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed having a chance to speak with Charlene, and thanks so much for listening.